This is the best of the Phillies on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly, as we are every summer Friday up until Eagles season. Fantasy football draft time is almost here. Book your next party at Chickies, the official sports bar of your world champion Philadelphia Eagles. Speaking of fantasy football and world champion, our league is going to start having to get together. We're going to have to start filling the holes in our league next week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, to see who's going to come after the world champion talking right now.
Yeah.
Did you win last year?
I did win last
year. I can't believe we let that happen.
Yeah.
First year in the league, you won.
Yeah. Your fantasy baseball team's heating up, too.
It is heating
Seems
up.
Seems like you got a lot of time in your
hands. Maybe he does know what he's talking
well,
about.
Well, I want to beat Lakin fantasy baseball.
Well, again, that's like, awful. Lakin is just... He's like always in the top of the fantasy football league.
He's a fantasy creep.
He's
pretty good.
But he's too good.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That's my.
How about this? Get us to training camp.
Yeah.
I'll have that. You know what? I'm gonna do a program
time on fantasy.
Yeah.
Sports.
How about fantasy program director? Where you send the afternoon show to interview one of the Eagles? How about this?
Yeah.
How about that league?
Yeah,
the Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers for a one-of-a-kind experience that makes diamond buying less stressful. Visit the home team at Mark's Jewelers online at marks-jewelers.com. Do you want the Eagles to build a dome with their new stadium? 69.8% say no. What Elliot saying at, or the dome thing is if they build a dome stadium, I'm convinced once people went there, they would like it. It would be a nice new stadium.
Different type of fan, though.
Yes, for sure.
You know those seat prices going up.
Well, that no matter what they do, it's going up.
Oh, so you're swapping out the hot dogs for caviar?
Yep.
Is that what we want this to be?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Well, because think about it. When you build these things and you put those nice concession stands in there, they aren't going to be just popcorn, hot dogs, and soda.
Well, the other thing is...
You get the different types of concession stands.
Well, the people who... don't want that, who don't want like the outside and blah, 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 then you get this softer fans in there.
Yeah.
And I'm convinced it would be nice either way. But if you're going to, to me, the mistake is even asking people. Because if you ask them and then build the dome anyway, because there's no way, we don't see the data on what the responses are. Mm-hmm. I just have to imagine most of the people that responded said they didn't want a dome.
Yeah. Sure.
I have to imagine.
I'll just say this. Just go retractable.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is, like, these domes aren't even loud anymore. I mean, like, the Georgia Dome used to be loud, I felt like, and the New Orleans Dome is loud still. But, like, the Rams doesn't feel loud.
Nope.
Cowboys doesn't feel loud. Nope. It doesn't have the same feel that the Lions one, but that's an older dome. It seems like the older domes are still loud. And that's what you hope for when you build a dome.
And that's not, the Lions Stadium is not one of those monstrosities where it's too big like the, like the Cowboys Stadium.
Right.
I think the Cowboys Stadium and even the what is it called? Mercedes-Benz Dome?
In Atlanta?
Yeah, the new one they
That's
have.
That's not that loud either.
No, it's not that loud.
No.
Because it's so big and they have so many things in there to distract you from the actual game. Like, you're making this experience of going to the game not like going to the game. If I go to the game, I should be locked in on the game.
It's like going to a movie theater.
Yes, you want to be focused on the thing, not the other thing.
Not all the bells and whistles that go along with being in the stadium.
And by the way, you can build an outdoor stadium that is loud and cheat like Seattle did.
Yep.
Seattle built it a way that kept the noise in the stadium. So, let's talk a little Phils with our Phils guy.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Kev Jackie Baseball.
There's so much like little trade stuff going on right now in the Jackie Baseball Report. But a couple things. One, they are wearing maroon hats all week, and they're bringing them back.
I love the maroon.
For Hall of Fame weekend. So that'll be a fun little wrinkle.
What weekend? This weekend?
Yeah, it's Hall of Fame weekend. So Ichiro's going in. CeCe's going in.
Oh, I got you. Hall of Fame for baseball.
Yes.
For baseball.
Yes.
I like
it's
the maroon.
Not football. No. Chargers next week. Chargers Lions. I can't wait to gamble in the Hall of Fame game. There's other Hall of Fames.
Do you like the maroon or the candy apple red they have going on now? I like the maroon better.
Yeah, I'm a maroon guy.
Yeah.
And it ain't close, pal.
It isn't close.
Yeah.
Nah, that's what I grew up on, man. That was my first laying my eyes on the Phillies were maroon and powder blue.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what it was.
I can't believe they didn't like the powder blues back in the day.
Like, oh, my God. Yeah.
Because now they're, like, the best uniform.
By far, yeah.
Yep.
An update on Andrew Painter. One hit last night. Now it was a home run.
Oh, of course it was.
To a recovering big leaguer, though.
Andrew Nola.
Ryan Mountcastle. So he's not a bad hitter for the Orioles.
Yeah.
But still, only allowed one hit. Now he did still walk three and struck out four. I think he went five?
Aaron Painter. He always goes five.
Well, he went six one time.
Okay.
And that was the deepest he'd gone into it.
Well, he is. You got to remember, he did have Tommy John surgery 2 years ago.
Not to cut you off.
Yeah.
But there's no way he's ready to be up here.
No, he could be in
but
the bullpen.
But last night was a move in the right direction.
Sure. And they're saying they aren't going to put him in the bullpen.
I think they'd rather not bring him up if it meant putting him in the bullpen.
Yes, that's what I'm sensing.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm sensing, that he does not come up this year.
Now, Middleton did mention him in the bullpen.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. Now, the baseball people.
I was going to say Middleton might have.
He also mentioned Abel in the bullpen.
Yep.
And I would be shocked if Abel's
here.
He's
been listening to the station too
much. Nah, Abel doesn't have the stones.
I would be shocked if Abel's here on August 1st.
Oh, really? You think he's getting traded?
Yeah.
Okay.
So a lot of trade stuff going on. So, one, there's no Luis Robert in the White Sox lineup tonight. They're facing a lefty. He smokes lefties. It would be a weird night to have off. And a lot of kind of rumors about the Mets. Bob Nightingale was on some random podcast yesterday. Two interesting nuggets in here.
Well, there's one Phillies one.
Hilarious.
Yep.
And the other about Luis Robert. Here is Bob Nightingale yesterday.
And the reason why I really do hope the Mets land Luis Robert is in part because I feel like if the Mets do not land him, it's going to be the Philadelphia Phillies. What's your thoughts about that?
The Phillies are sold on him. They think he's okay. I can see him mulling more with the Phillies. And they're not crazy. They made some bad moves. I mean, when they signed Max Kepler, everybody in Minnesota laughed like, you're kidding me. He's going to have a terrible season. It's not going to work. It hasn't worked.
Holy cow.
Yep.
They were laughing at the Phillies.
Yeah, they were laughing at the Phillies. And then he added at the end that he thinks that the Mets are more interested in Luis Robert than the Phillies.
Dude, can I just tell you that? Now, who knows how true that is? And a lot of times, you know, when we signed, I hate to bring it back to the Sixers, when we signed Kelly Oubre, everybody at Golden State was laughing at us. That guy's a loser, blah, blah, blah. And Oubre's been good here.
Mm-hmm.
So it can work out. It doesn't make me feel good, though, that everyone in Minnesota thought it was a joke that we signed Kepler, and it ended up being a joke.
Well, especially because he had been there since he was 16.
Yeah.
Like, Oubre was a warrior for a minute.
Yeah. Yep,
like,
yep,
they knew Max Kepler.
Yeah.
And the fact that they had that idea definitely doesn't make you feel too great. Now, a weird one.
Quick thing. They didn't pay him nothing.
$10 million.
They paid him $10 million. That's not nothing.
And for a team that is now battling this luxury tax, it's a real issue.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a real issue. So out of nowhere this morning, John Heyman linked the Kansas City Royals to considering Nick Castellanos if he was really available, which is an odd one. But they had the benching, so maybe there's something going on there.
Yep.
He's owed a good amount of money. Maybe if they want to get out from underneath that contract now while he's like playing pretty well, and a team as I think they've shopped him in the past, but no one seems to want to take him. It would be a weird move in the middle of the season, but if they were looking for a possible like shake-up kind of move, like Castellanos out of nowhere would be a really, really interesting.
Don't they need two bats if they trade Castellanos?
Well, they would.
Because you got it. Nick Castellanos has his flaws. He is still second on the team in hits. His OPS is like the same as Trey Turner's. It's like 750. He is flawed, but he is productive. You know, so
yeah.
You can't just – you trade Castellanos and you trade for an outfielder. All of a sudden you're in a – even if he's a slightly better outfielder, you're still – it's hard for that not to be a neutral move, you know?
They would really have to go the 21 Braves route. Where they traded for four outfielders, got four outfielders. They got Eddie Rosario, Jock Peterson, Jorge Soler, and Adam Duvall, and they just like remade it at the trade deadline.
Do you think they would trade Castellanos?
I think a lot of things are on the table right now. I would be very surprised if they traded Nick Castellanos, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. So
wow, I'd be shocked.
I'd be shocked, but I don't think it's like a 0% chance. Like I think Bohm could be traded too, but he's also hurt. So. And I think Bohm would get traded if it was for Eugenio Suarez.
I had a suggestion for Jack earlier. Because now the Yankees traded for a third baseman. They have somebody. Mm-hmm. I asked Jack if he would trade Alec Bohm for Giancarlo Stanton. And you put Schwarber in left, and you have Stanton as your DH. You have a right-handed bat, who, by the way, is terrifying in the playoffs.
Playoff riser.
He's hurt a lot. I think he's still got two more years on his contract, which is a lot of money. But, man, you want a right-handed bat. Now, it's not a thing anymore. But
who's playing third base for us?
Sosa and Kemp.
Sosa and Kemp.
Yeah.
And there's your right-handed power.
Yeah. Now the Yankees made a trade for a third baseman, so it's over. But would have been interesting.
Yeah, I would have considered that.
Yeah.
Now, the other third baseman that's out there is Eugenio Suarez, who the Yankees were linked to.
Yep.
The Mariners, I guess, are still linked to, but they traded for Josh Naylor last night. John Heyman, 2 hours ago, said the Phillies are yet another potential fit for Eugenio Suarez. And they mentioned the Yankees, which I think are out now, Cubs, Reds, Astros, Tigers, Brewers.
Like, that means the asking price is too high.
The asking price is definitely
right. If those teams needed third basemen and they decided to go elsewhere.
Yeah. Now he's 34 years old. He's on the last year of his deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to be careful with a move like that.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. You know? But I will say, you know, they flashed a graphic up on ESPN earlier, and they talked about the last 6 World Series winners. And we always talk about small ball and like playing the game the right way in the postseason and what matters. Yeah. Well, the last like 6 World Series winners have been top 7 in home runs, and the last 3 have been top 3 in team home runs. Phillies are currently 14th. Like, you know, getting more power is pretty imperative at the deadline. Suarez would really, really help that.
Sure.
And then the final thing here, and if there's ever an all-in move, like you trade Painter, you trade Aiden Miller, you trade almost whatever it takes, would be to the Diamondbacks for Ketel Marte. And Ketel Marte, the Diamondbacks GM said today that he's under a long-term contract. It would take a haul. He didn't rule out the idea of trading Ketel Marte.
Well, he basically just told you what you need. He's under contract for more years, and it's going to take a lot to get him.
Yeah. Yeah, but the fact that he didn't shoot it down
means
that he's listening.
Yeah.
Man, that would be trade everybody.
He's saying, come to the table.
Yeah, so Ketel Marte this year, by the way, he plays second base, so Stott would probably have to be in the deal. But I know.
Loved Stotty, but it's 2 straight years hitting 230.
Last year, he hit 292 with 36 home runs. And this year he's hitting 287, 955 OPS with 20 home runs. Now,
how old is he?
So he's 31 this year.
Okay.
He's paid through 2030, which he's 36.
Okay.
But it's second base. And it's $15 million, $12 million, $20 million, $22, $22.
Woo, that's a good number.
It's not that much money.
No.
Get him.
Like
go get Marte.
If there was a trade to get Andrew Painter, put Andrew Painter on the table, put Aiden Miller on the table, whatever.
What if you put Marte at second, you move Stott to short, you put Trey in left field?
What if it gets Ketel Marte? I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo! Boy.
That's a big one.
That would be a trade.
That'd be a fun one.
That'd be a big one.
Update in the middle of the Jackie Baseball Report. Apparently, Luis Robert's out tonight with a tight groin.
Yep.
Get out of there.
You got to come up with something.
Cares. Come on, do you get a needle in there? Yeah, How long was he at the doctor? Like 3 hours?
Him and the camera.
Yeah.
He's a Phil.
215-592-9494. Gary in Vineland, you're on WIP.
I wish I was earlier with Alex. He's so right about that. That's the whole thing.
I didn't. Could you say again and just talk louder?
No, with TJ Watt, like, we're talking about useless stats. That's all we talk about all day long. We don't know where the wide receiver's going. We don't know what pitch the pitcher's throwing.
Useless stats.
So wait, what are you saying again? Say again.
I'm on Elliott's side. Like,
Yes. Yeah. I mean, all stats need context. I think the more stats you have, the better. Like, just in terms of I would understand what J.J. Watt is saying on a one-day thing. But that's why you want more numbers, right? Like, for one stat. So, yeah, I agree with Elliott on that. And I agree with him in saying, I think he made it the best way. He said, would you rather I show up here and tell you Jalen Hurts looked good, or would you rather I show up here and tell you Jalen Hurts looked good, he was 17 of 19, you know, didn't throw an interception, you know. I think Elliott gives us context, as much context as you could, and football is the hardest thing for context in any number, even in the regular season. It's really, really difficult, you know. Like, even take a running back in a game. You could have a running back have 20 carries for 148 yards, and three of those runs could have been 45, you know, 40 and 23.
Yeah.
And like, now it's still a great game, but it also doesn't tell the whole story of what he did. So, yeah, I agree with you, Gary.
Now when he says it was so amazing to watch a game in the snow, but then he says, I want a dome, which I think yeah. is because he just wants to wear his linen during the football game.
He does.
He
wants to wear his linen.
He does.
That's the only thing I could think of. That's the only thing.
Doesn't want to get his hair messed up.
The hair is a whole thing,
the hair,
too.
The hair, the linen. Yep, you're right.
Doesn't want his eye makeup to run.
Oh, man, now you're throwing eye makeup. I don't know that it's not true.
It's true.
True.
Yeah. This is all a personal preference for Elliot.
Yep.
But we talk about the Phillies, trade them all. Painter, he could be the next Vinny Vela. You know what I mean? Who knows?
He's not the next Vinny Vela. Take it down a notch.
He could be. But we don't know what
he could be. Zach Wheeler, too. I mean, he could be.
Right. But we could win the World Series this year if we get the right player.
Yep, yep. Well, and the point being, one of the things we don't talk about very often is the Phillies farm system is in a much better place than it was 5 years ago.
Right.
And like there are a lot of players in baseball farm systems. Like, it's not like, you know, when you talk about a basketball trade or a football trade, that is a large portion of whatever your young core is. You know, a top-rated prospect is still top-rated for a reason.
Uh-huh.
But the ability to sort of replenish is what the good organizations do.
Yep.
Gary, next question today. It's National Wine and Cheese Day. So the winner for the best wine gets 4 tickets to the Eagles public practice. What do you want to whine about?
These bleeping people that when there's 15 parking spots have to park right in front of the frickin' door. I had a lady once, like, almost run me over, and then I said something to her, and she responded, God bless and go to hell, which I said, I'll take the first one, the second one, and it totally set her off. She's like, no, you get them both. I'm like, no, I'll just take the first one.
God bless and go to hell. Yeah, I have to say, now, I'm not aggressive about getting a great parking spot, but, man, there is something fulfilling about getting a great parking spot. About getting a parking spot right where you're, and, you know, I'm a stepsman. I want to get in steps anyway. But a great parking spot? Oh, man. Something as a man you really appreciate.
Right.
215-592-9494. Bennett in Sicklerville. You're on WIP. What's up, Bennett?
Hello. How's it going?
Hello, Bennett.
Hey, Bennett.
How you doing? So I'm with my
boy.
So before I get into anything negative right now,
yep.
I just want to talk about we have a family member that was the founder of the Philadelphia Eagles back in the day. His name was James Ray Ludlow. A cousin of a member of our Ray family was the original co-owner, the founder of the Philadelphia Eagles back in the early 1930s, was well known with the NFL commissioner of Bert Bell.
So, okay.
Going through, you know, the Super Bowl season last year and just, you know, rooting for the Eagles and my uncle and my whole family, it was just awesome. And for what the Eagles went through, it was just great for our family.
Now, that's awesome.
Well, what about when they won in 2017? Was that also great for your family?
Oh, man, it was great. So the one thing I want to say about 2017 is that I was down on Jalen Hurts. I was calling
Alabama in 2017.
I know. Well, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, and, you know, with Jalen Hurts, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. So, first off, I was down on Jalen Hurts. The one thing I'm going to say, I was just down on Jalen Hurts. The one thing I'm not going to say is I'm not down on Jalen Hurts. He's definitely a top 10 quarterback. I am happy to have him as our quarterback. I was rooting for Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is long gone right now. I am happy to have Jalen Hurts. Let's go. Now, look.
Hell
the
yeah.
The only thing, I am not concerned about us this year. If we win the Super Bowl or we don't win the Super Bowl, I don't really care. The season that we had last year is one of the best teams that were ever in the NFL, point blank. We are the best team ever last year. But I think we have
sounds
a
like
kid,
he's related
so.
To Herb.
So
you think what?
Well, Jalen Hurts is. I was down on him. I was down on him, and
yep.
I was.
And now you're not.
I am not Jalen. I am happy to have Jalen Hurts as my quarterback. Point
what
blank.
Happened?
Just concerned about the.
So I mean. So I was down on him as yes. he was a running quarterback. He was yes. a running quarterback.
Bennett. Bennett. Yes. Bennett. Can I ask you something?
Yes.
Elliot Shore Parks recently changed his haircut and brushed it all the way forward and said he's in his lad era. What do you think of that?
Say that again.
Elliot's in his lad era, in that like he's brushing his hair forward instead of back. What do you think of that?
He better push that thing back right now. I know that.
Hell yeah. All right, Ben.
All right.
Appreciate you listening, bro.
He was down on Jalen Hurts.
He was. Did you hear that he was down on Jalen?
Yeah.
Just
we got an unruly fan here.
Yeah, he doesn't know we're
on
the air.
Yeah.
Now he's trying to get me back because that's how I do him when he's on remotes. Just walk right on their set.
Hugh Douglas, one of a kind.
What's up, big dog?
So coming up next, you may remember the last time we awarded the belt, Ike Reese got it.
I did.
We didn't have the belt last week because
nope.
we were off. The question is, does Ike Reese keep the belt?
He should.
Next, we will find out if he did. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Remember, fantasy football draft time almost here. You can book your party at Chickies and Pete's, the official sports bar of your world champion Philadelphia Eagles. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
You've been listening to the best of the Phillies on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. Tom Kelly, Hugh Douglas with you on a Fransky Friday.
Fransky Friday.
Scott Fransky, sponsored by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Phillies and Yankees starting a series tonight. Game is on Apple TV tonight, so that means you can use
if
the feature there.
If you ain't got
there.
It, you can't watch it. You better get Apple TV tonight.
If you do, though, you can change over to the Phillies radio broadcast where you hear Scott and Kevin Stocker on the call. What's up, Scott? How was the All-Star break?
It was tremendous. It was awesome. Yeah, I took some time off, and the family and I went to Italy. And,
oh, that's nice.
It was great. Yeah.
Did you get some good? Did you get some good food, Scott? I mean, what kind of food were you working with over there?
A lot of pizza, a lot of pasta, as you might expect.
Yeah, but isn't it different over there, though? It's not like the pizza that we're used to eating. It's a little bit more, flavorful, I would say?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it was a little more, it was different, I mean, no doubt. But we tried everything. I mean, my son he had an over-under on slices for the whole trip. And we blew away the over.
That's what's up, man. Sounds like a good trip.
Well, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Well, there you go, Scott. Glad you got some time off to enjoy the break. And now you come back, and we're getting ready for the stretch run here. And obviously, Phil's win 2 out of 3 against the Red Sox this week. Big story from that series. I mean, Bryce Harper, going back to that road trip before the break, got it going in San Francisco, really carried it over in that series. Scott, what are you seeing from Bryce Harper, and what's gone behind this turnaround here?
Well, I think it was probably a long time coming, to be honest with you. I mean, you're never terribly worried about Bryce. You always know he's going to figure it out. And I mean, I don't know whether it was somewhat the wrist kind of feeling better, but I think he's just on balance. He looks like he's seeing the ball really well. He doesn't chase as much. I don't know. He looks like Bryce. He looks really confident. He looks like he's always in control of the at-bat. It makes a huge, huge difference for this lineup. That's pretty obvious.
You know, Scott, speaking of this lineup, man, we've been kind of kicking around. We know the trade deadline is coming up next week. At this point of the season, what do you think is the one piece or two pieces that we need that's going to help push us in the direction that we want to go in?
Yeah, I mean, I still think you need bullpen help. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that should still be the number one focus. I know there's a lot of talk about the offense, and I think fans certainly remember what happened when it ended, the last 2 years, and largely it's the offense dries up a little bit. So I think I can understand the frustration, and they need more production out of the guys in the back half of the lineup.
Yeah.
Too many nights. It's been a kind of a three-man, team. in a lot of respects, you know, Trey, Kyle, and Bryce at the top. And they just need more from the rest of the guys. And they're starting to get more from JT. And, you know, Bryce and Stott had a big game the other day, and that was great. And I hope he can keep that going. Because they need it. They really, really need it in that back half of the lineup, because you will find once they get to the playoff time and they can do all their matchups, they're going to do their best to work around those three guys at the top. So it will definitely come down to somebody else doing something in a big spot. Again, number one for me is bullpen, and number two would be trying to upgrade the outfield somewhere, somehow.
Scott Fransky joining us now, play-by-play voice of the Phils. And Scott, you look at that game on Wednesday. Jesus Luzardo looked great for the first four innings. Things kind of snowballed for him in the fifth. And obviously, you look at Luzardo, great the first 2 months of the season. Up and down the last 2 months, really all started with that outing against the Brewers at the end of May. How concerned are you about Luzardo?
I mean, a little bit. You know, right now, what we saw the other day, I mean, it almost looks like the yips, you know what I mean? Like, a guy gets the second, and whether somebody has something on him, whether he thinks somebody has something on him, you know, maybe they do, maybe they don't. Maybe he's overthinking it in those moments. I don't know what's going on, but it was really crazy. To me, it wasn't that they knew what was coming, because he just wasn't close. He just had big misses. You know, a four-pitch walk to Jaron Duran there, a guy that he had totally handled the first two times. But then all of a sudden, there's traffic on the bases, and he can't throw a strike. And to me, that seems more mental than anything else. Again, I'm not a pitcher, I'm not an expert, but it just seems like that would be more of a mental thing, that there's something in his head in those moments. Once the guy gets out to second, and then he starts thinking about it and overthinking it and trying to maybe do something different, I don't know. But, yeah, I'd say mildly concerned. I mean, there's no doubt who your one and two are right now. That's pretty obvious. After that, you know, there's definitely still some question marks, you know, going forward.
Yeah, Scott. And I mean, obviously, Rangers having a good year. He's probably the third guy right now. And then you got Luzardo and obviously Aaron Nola rehabbing, trying to come back from the rib injury. Do you think this kind of increases the urgency to get Nola back, get him pitching well? So if you look down the line, that he could be in play for a start in the postseason, and maybe you could slide Luzardo back to the bullpen.
Yeah, I don't know if it increases the urgency. I definitely think they're a better team with Nola being Nola. Does it mean he's the number one guy? No, but it means he's a guy who's going to earn, as you said, earn a start in the postseason. So I think it gives you different options. I do think you're probably more apt to use one of those two lefties you mentioned out of the 10 than you would be Nola. So in that regard, yeah, I think it's still important to get him back, get him going. It's not a situation where you need to rush him, but it is a situation where I think they're a better ball club if he's earning one of those, you know, top three starts or top four starts in the postseason.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Scott. And as we look toward the deadline here, you know, you look at the way the starting pitching has been this year, and they've been incredible, obviously. Wheeler, Sanchez, both in the Cy Young race at this point. Do you think that kind of increases the urgency, I guess, in terms of making a move to put this team over the top this year? Just the thought of you can't waste this kind of starting pitching that you've gotten this season.
I guess it's kind of semantic. I don't think that, say, Dave Dombrowski or John Middleton or Preston Mattingly or anybody who's, you know, at that level in charge views the season any differently now than they did in March. They still, in March, their goal was to win the World Series. It remains their goal to win the World Series. I don't think it's a situation where, oh my gosh, we've pitched so much better than we thought, because I don't necessarily think that's the case.
Right.
I think they felt like they were going to have a really, really good starting rotation, and that's proven to be the case. Now, it's not without flaws and faults and ups and downs, but it is a really good, you know, I don't think I don't think the perception from the front office has changed from where they were in March to where they are now, in terms of, you know, urgency or the goal. The end goal has always been the world to win the World Series, and I don't think that's changed at all. And I don't think that changes regardless of whatever happens over the next 7 days before the deadline.
Yeah, and one more for you here, Scott. You look at Kyle Schwarber. Don't want to, you know, finish out without mentioning him. He's been incredible this year. Do you think Kyle Schwarber is worthy of being in the MVP conversation at this point in the National League?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I don't know that he would, win it, obviously, but I think he's deserving of being, because again, if you're somebody like me who's watched this team night in and night out, you understand how he has been. You know, he and Trey have been the two most consistent offensive performers throughout. There really haven't been many dips. There was a little bitty lull, I guess you could say, for Kyle, maybe two and a half weeks there in early June. But since then, he's turned it back on again. And I think what he's done consistently, day in and day out, for this club has been pretty remarkable. And I don't think that, you know, when we see this club and how they interact with one another and who their leaders are, I mean, Kyle is right there. I just think he's been, he has certainly been as valuable as just about anybody on this club. I think you could easily make that case that he, you know, belongs in the MVP conversation.
Absolutely. Been tremendous this year and should be a good series this weekend with the Phils taking on the Yankees in New York. Scott Fransky, thanks as always, Scott. Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, fellas. Talk to you again next week.
Take it easy, Scott. Scott Fransky in New York for the Phils and Yankees tonight. Apple TV. So as I said, that is a nice feature on Apple TV where you can flip off the national broadcast and listen to local radio.
It's massive.
Yeah.
See, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
because I have Apple TV, but I didn't know you because you could actually do that.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, it really is.
I might try to do that tonight.
Oh, you should try to.
Without a doubt, do it. It's so much better.
Bring me some wine and
there you go.
Wine.
So let's get a recap of what Hugh's going to be doing tonight. He's going to be drinking wine, maybe a gummy. Definitely the glue.
Maybe. You got
will be okay. Wine, God, gummy, said,
puff and glue.
Wine, gummy, and glue.
Yeah, that sounds about a good
lather
night.
Vaseline like, on me.
That's
and no dome.
That is crazy.
Yeah, yeah. But no
but
dome.
But no dome.
No way. Hugh's pro dome.
I'm pro dome. Yeah. I want the dome.
Oh,
take the dome.
I just realized I should have asked Scott. I should have asked Scott if he's pro, like, pro dome. Think,
no, listen. Because Kyle was looking at me. Because I thought you were looking at me because I was going to ask him about who do we think Topper farted. But I said, you know, had
shenanigans. Yeah, I thought you were going to ask him about that.
I was like, wow, I was weighing the situation. But I was like, we've been wilding out all day.
Yeah.
So I was like, let me pull it back. Just
you should have asked him
if he's ever let one slip on the air.
That
was
like,
hey, Scott, have you ever farted on air? That's just asking, just like that, huh? Might as well. You ever fart on air? Yeah, that would have went over real well.
Well, like you could have told him that you had
your
experience
story,
doing
your own personal experience.
You know, that's a heel. That heel's going stay there.
I didn't fart. That's what I'm saying. I ain't fart.
That we've collected, that's the most obvious one.
I didn't fart.
Besides Trent Baalke.
My favorite was the Baalke one,
Excuse me.
No, he.
Oh God, that's gross.
I can't even tell you what he did. He did it.
Scotty Scheffler got caught the other day during the tournament and admitted it.
Yep, he did.
You know,
admit
he didn't
see,
lie
that's,
about it.
That's the grown up thing to do. Just admit it.
Yeah, I mean, but I didn't fart.
Like Baalke said, "Excuse me," immediately after.
Sit down and go. No, excuse me. Going through the final.
I'm here to tell you, man. If I fart, and I'm not ashamed to say it. If I farted, you would know because it would light this whole room up.
Okay, please don't.
It's a luxury. That's a heel. That heel's going stay there.
The noise is just—it's kind of incriminating.
I mean, I get it.
Maybe it was Joe.
It was the chair.
It could have been Joe.
It was the chair.
Do you think it was Joe?
Mm.
And it's a he's trying to blame you for it situation.
No, I don't think that was the case. I just think that I work with a bunch
people
of
people did theorize that was the case that Joe framed Hugh.
Yeah.
I work with a bunch of childish individuals, man. And this is what usually happens on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. I get ridiculed and accused of stuff.
We're not childish.
That I don't. Oh, super childish.
Mm-mm.
Very, very childish.
No. I mean, we're just having conversations about pro or no don't.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
That's not childish at all.
Childish all day.
All right. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, pro or anti-dome, yes dome or no dome, that is the question we're asking. Also, when it comes to the Phillies, would you trade Andrew Painter in a deal to really upgrade this lineup? And with the Eagles, are they in their own tier? Or have they come back to the pack a little bit? All that stuff we've been discussing today. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Matt in Delaware. What's up, Matt?
Matt.
Matt?
You all right?
Oh, no, Matt.
Oh.
All right. Let's go to Bernard in Wilmington. What's up, Bernard?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, Bernard?
Should I sound good or should I take you off speaker?
You sound good to us.
You all right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Love you guys. First time, long time. But you.
Yes.
You. No dome.
Why not, Bernard? Say, what's wrong?
I've lived in Delaware most of my life, but born in Chicago, then lived in Buffalo.
The Windy City.
You don't. A dome. Would you put a dome on Lambeau Field?
Would I?
It's a good question, yeah. Bernard.
That would take away the hole in the stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you're asking the wrong person. Turning in Hugh's mind.
Well,
there.
Bernard, I will say that, like, to be fair, I don't think that the link is as historic as Lambeau Field.
No, it isn't. But you have when you have teams like Tampa Bay or L.A. come, that's obviously good for us.
You're talking about an advantage.
And I mean, in a playoff game, I mean, when you have those, they're not used to playing in snow. We want, and for the caller, it was, I don't know, two or three callers ago, the fair weather. What? You're only going to go when it's 75 and.
Yeah, that was a weak call, Bernard. I mean, you can't only go when it's perfect weather outside.
Now, what's going to be next? They're going to put sound deadening foam on all the seats so it's not too loud. I mean, come on. Buffalo Bills, they have the money to put. They're not doing a dome. They don't care about a Super Bowl. They want to make sure that it's their fans that are, you know, taken care of. Now, if you get 75,000 Philly fans that say we want a dome, maybe they'll change it, but
I think that's not going to happen.
What it is, it's the sterilization of sports. I mean, people want to sterilize sports.
Is that what
nobody
it is?
Had a dome in the beginning? So why, you know, that's just being, you know, man up.
I hear you, Bernard. What's your Tri-Day Friday movie?
This one, I thought it was, well, when it came out, I was, I don't know, 14 or 13, but it's Quest for Fire.
With Ron Perlman.
Back in 81. That's the bad move.
Fire. Yeah, with Ron Perlman.
Appreciate it, Bernard.
And Ray Don Chong.
Never heard of Quest
You've
for
never
Fire.
Seen?
Never
wait a minute,
heard,
wait
never
a minute,
even
hold
heard
up.
Of it.
No, I think, no. He's talking about, I'm sorry. He's talking about the, I think he's talking about the marathon movie, Quest for Fire.
Wait a minute, let me make sure.
Because I didn't see the one, but I saw the one. If it's the Quest for Fire, I thought it was. I saw that one.
Okay. Either one, I've never heard of Quest for Fire, so we'll do a little more research on that.
It was. I was right. With Ron Perlman.
Okay.
And Ray Don Chong.
All right. There you go.
That was like the beginning, early man.
Okay.
And they break off and become, you know, they talk about the evolution of man kind of.
Oh, okay.
Kind of thing,
yeah. All right.
Pretty good movie.
See, okay. So not a bad movie. There you go. Let's go to Black Gritty. What's up, Black Gritty?
Q, what it do, TK?
What up, man?
How you guys doing today, man?
What's up, man?
So me and TK, you usually be battling and stuff like that, and I be getting on TK, because you be saying ridiculous stuff, man. But I'm here to defend you today.
You're defending? Wow, this is history-making day.
Hey, look, let me tell you something. So I took a picture with Jordan Mailata, and I didn't put that thing on the internet. I showed my daughter. I said, I look like a toddler.
Dude, he's huge. He's the biggest person I've ever seen in my life.
And I'm Hugh and a half big. Like I'm Hugh before the shredding season. I'm like I look small next to this man.
Yeah,
I'm
a big dude, man.
So they had the nerve to go and put you on their internet like you was a Make-A-Wish kid. I don't like it.
Hey, what a Black Gritty.
They could have cropped that John or something. They could have put you on a little block and cropped it.
He said blocks.
It would have been worse if they put me on a block. Like, and I'd still look small compared to him. It is what it is.
I mean, we crop you at the knees. You get a little 2-inch boost. just to help, PK.
Yeah.
They got you out there looking like a Make-A-Wish kid being picked up at daycare. I don't like it.
Yeah, it is what it is.
I don't like it.
Black Ready, I don't. Anybody's going to look tiny next to Jordan Mailata, and I'm not going to lie. I'm, you know, short to begin with, but... that's not something I'm worried about. Everybody's going to look small next to that guy. He's a giant. He's a literal giant.
Like I said, I got a picture of him, Dickerson. I don't post none of them pictures. I'm like, I can't do this.
Oh, come on, Black Gritty. You can't be worried about what people are going to say about you. Come on, man.
I got a brand to protect. I'm taking some lift shoes next time when I go down there to meet the guys. You know what I'm saying? They're huge. That's why Drew doesn't throw over the middle. Can you throw over 7'42"? I don't think you can.
Yeah, big dude.
So let me tell you about the dome. If they put a retractable dome, if they spend real good money and get me a retractable dome, I'll take it. Otherwise, I need elements. Or I need one of those open-air domes where it's not closed off on both ends so I can get like a tailwind and ice and freezing weather coming in. Because that's what football is. You know what I mean? That snow game against the Rams, like, that's just magic. When you watch those clips, when I watch Shady in the snow, that's a dream. That is magical. And not to have that for my team would make me happy. So I don't want a dome unless they're going to spend that real money to make the dome a way that we can still get some weather when we want to.
But this is the thing, man. Even if they do a retractable dome, you're never getting any weather. I mean, anytime the weather
we're going to put that dome up.
Yeah. Anytime it's below 60 degrees, they're going to close the dome.
It's got to be open air.
Yeah.
I'm trying to put that in the contract because I know they want to make money. They want the Super Bowl here. I want the city to live and everybody get a cheesesteak. I get what they want to do, but that natural weather is just on and popping.
So you don't want dome, Black Gritty, is what you're saying?
No, I don't want dome. Good. I don't want dome.
Good. All
right. Hugh, have you ever seen that movie Three Strikes?
I think it's a hood movie, isn't it?
It's a hood movie.
I think I've seen that. That was bad.
You watched it one time, you'll never watch it again.
That was a bad movie. Three Strikes, that was bad.
Google Three Strikes, anybody. If you want to waste an hour and a half of your life, go ahead and enjoy it.
Yeah, he's not lying.
All right.
And TK, when I order my lift shoes, I got you, dog. We both going to be up 2 inches, brother. Right. I'm going to take care of you, TK.
All right, thanks, man. I appreciate it, Black Gritty. Thanks for the call. Yeah, whatever. It is what it is. I know I'm short. And Jordan Mailata's huge.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
I did everybody was making the cell phone bars joke because that is what it looked like.
That was the best service bars, I think.
It is very true.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it looked like.
Yeah, people were texting me and asking me, how tall are you? How tall is he? It was like, because you're not small, but he makes you look really small.
There's 6 inches in between each of us. Like, there's 6 inches between me and you, 6 between Hugh and Jordan. So, yeah.
Yeah,
maybe
you think
more.
Two Tom Kellys could fit in Jordan Mailata?
When you said that, it's just like you should have just kept that. You should have shoved that in your head and just kept it there.
I don't know what you're. What are you even talking about?
I don't know.
It just sounds weird, dog.
You're calling me childish.
I'm just saying. It just sounds weird. It just sounds weird.
Everything sounds weird.
Don't know what you're referring to.
Especially on a Friday.
Yeah.
It sounds weird on Friday. But it just, could you, do you, okay, ask it again, Kyle, and ask it slowly.
Do you think Jordan Mailata could fit two Tom Kellys inside of him? What?
I don't know what he's laughing about.
And lather Vaseline on me.
Like, you people have witnessed, me and Kyle's relationship has evolved to a point where we're both.
I don't even know what you're talking
on
about.
A different plane.
Yeah.
It's evolved. Something's happened this week and it's been magical.
we're almost out of here, buddy. Almost out of here.
We've had a magical week.
Can't happen soon enough. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in.
Oh, good time.
We'll check in with you people before we go today. I'm sure that's going to be very nice and complimentary as always. We'll take a few more calls. Plus, we'll bring back a game we call Explicit Snack of the Night.
Explicit
coming up.
Guilty!
This is going to be fun. So that's coming up next. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Nothing says summer like grilling. And when I fire my grill, you know I'm bringing the heat and I'm bringing the flavor. Hatfield Savory Brown Sugar Marinated Pork Tenderloin is on my grilling go-to list. It's juicy, packed with that sweet, smoky goodness, and it's so easy to make. Just pop it on the grill and boom, dinner is done. This summer, put some pork on your fork with Hatfield. Visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes, tips, and where to buy. Hatfield, better care, better pork.
This is the best of the Phillies on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
All right, Beat the Hammer. It's a game that we do every single Friday at this time.
Beat the Hammer. It's time for Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, we'll talk more about that stadium situation with Elliot when he joins us at 8:30, because I would say it is likely that the Eagles want to do the new stadium, and here's why I'll tell you that. They would not put the email out to the season ticket holders as they did yesterday if they did not want to do it. So I think they are really beginning
the process. You know, Elliot's going to be excited about it because he's been openly pro-roof for a very long time.
He really has. All right, I'm pro-Hammer when it comes to Beat the Hammer with a record of 288 wins, a mere 45 losses. Our contestant today, her name is Bree, and she is playing for, as I quickly flip my pages here, Bree is playing for a $50 Rita's Italian Ice gift card. Try the new Rocket Pop Ice at Rita's. Be cool. Eat at Rita's. Let's find out if Bree can win the $50 gift card. Good morning, Bree.
Good morning. How are you?
I am fantastic, Bree. So you got very lucky here because there was a different contestant on the line, and then that guy dropped off. So in pops Bree. So good for you. So, Bree, your sports knowledge, how do you feel?
I feel confident I'm going to kick your butt.
Wow.
Whoa, love this.
More confident in that or that Jack will beat me in tennis?
I don't know. I think I might be able to beat you in tennis, too. I don't know.
Yes, wow. Bree.
I'm kidding.
All good. Bree, I like your style. All right, Bree, I'm going to step way here from our broadcast location and wish you very good luck. And then I'm going to come back here, and I'm going to claim victory 289. Good luck to you, Bree.
All right, we'll see. Thank you.
Yeah, Scram, get out of here, Hammer. No one wants you here.
We don't share his confidence, Bree. So yeah,
we're Team Bree.
It's my poker face.
I like it. No, it was good. It was good. I think you got him a little rattled, which is the whole key. You know, we just saw the Fritz Joe video. It's all about rattling. You know, it's all about getting in his head.
Well, he has limped off.
All right. He's safely ensconced.
Not really limping, but yeah, he's not jogging like he has in previous.
No, well, he's hurt, right? Jogging. You know, playing hurt. All right, Bree.
Yes, he is safely away.
Bree, you ready to play a little game we call Beat the Hammer?
Yeah, I think I'm
going to
go 0 for 5, but we're
going to
try.
Oh, no! Oh, no! Well, we won't tell you that.
No, I don't know. Go ahead.
All right, Bree, take a deep breath. We all support you. You got 55 seconds.
Just having fun. Just hanging out. You're at a bar with your pals talking sports. All right, you ready, roll?
All right, ready.
Category for the week. A big series coming up this weekend. We're doing a little Phillies-Yankees trivia.
Ooh, okay.
Today, the clock will start as soon as the first question is asked. You have 55 seconds, Bree. Here we go. Question number one. What Yankees starting pitcher who started games in the 2009 World Series would later pitch for the Phillies?
Pass.
Joe Girardi managed the Phillies and Yankees. Name the third Major League Baseball team he managed for.
The Cardinals.
What member of the 1993 Phillies started all six games for the Yankees in the 1996 World Series?
I know this is wrong, but I'm going to say Mariano Rivera.
The Yankees are one of two current American League teams that the Phillies have faced in the postseason two times. Name the other.
The Astros?
What third baseman had two different tenures with each team in the 90s and caught the final out of the 1996 World Series?
1996. Chase Utley?
What Yankees starting pitcher who started games in the 2009 World Series would later pitch for the Phillies?
Time.
All right. We got one. We got one.
I know.
You were close on Mark. You said Mariano Rivera. Mariano Duncan is the correct answer for that one. You're very close. Probably thinking of it. But not, you know, you didn't get shut out. We're going to put you on hold, Bree. We're going to wave the hammer back in.
Is he eating? He's eating cereal.
He is. He's eating a bowl of dry cereal.
He's
Cheerios, looks like.
Yep. Dry Cheerios.
As he's walking at a
leisurely pace, clearly.
Yeah, medium pace. Just did a step over of the divider thing. Almost like a hurdle.
I hadn't done stretches, so I didn't want to run.
Well, that's smart of you.
You didn't yeah, because you're run. Really putting a Joe, strain on yourself running you away from the table for Beat the Hammer.
Well, I mean, sometimes I run fairly fast back here, but I'm in training, and that's I got to be careful about it.
Open to debate. I think that's open. That's an opinion.
You fueling up with the Cheerios,
fairly
Joe?
Fast.
Yeah, I like the Cheerios. I dig them.
Carbo loading?
Sure. Yeah, if that's what they are, sure. I'll take that.
Sure.
How'd Bree do?
You ready, dude?
Bim.
Okay.
Category.
By the way, I want to say this, everyone listening. We got some pretty solid Fangio audio coming up. Because, John, that Fangio audio.
If that's what they are, do you know what's in Cheerios?
No. Like, don't care.
Oats.
Well, you should know stuff like that. You're a 47-year-old man.
They are healthy for you, as far as it goes.
Fine. Works for me. All right, Fangio audio that you're going to enjoy coming up soon.
I will agree on that. The Fangio audio is
great.
That
was good stuff.
All right, let's roll here. It was really good. So I mean, awesome. It's unbelievable. He just says what he's thinking. All right, here we go. Category for the week. Let's get to that Fangio audio in a minute. Yep. Joe, category for the week. Big series coming up this weekend. We're going to do a little Phillies-Yankees trivia. You ready?
Really?
We
the
are?
Phillies and
yeah.
the Yankees.
Caught you
maybe
guard,
maybe
I?
Charlie Hayes finds his way in.
Are you ready here?
Ben.
Question number one. What Yankee starting pitcher who started games in the 2009 World Series would later pitch for the Phillies?
Wow, I'll come back to that.
Joe Girardi managed the Phillies.
Hold on. No, I'll come back. Go ahead.
Joe Girardi managed the Phillies and Yankees. Name the third Major League Baseball team he managed for.
It's one of two. The Marlins.
What member of the 1993 Phillies started all six games for the Yankees in the 1996 World Series?
Duncan.
The Yankees are one of two current American League teams that the Phillies have faced in the postseason two times. Name the other.
Phillies faced it. Say that again?
The Yankees are one of two.
Astros.
What third baseman had two different tenures with each team in the 90s and caught.
Hayes. All right, 09 starter that. Say
Yankees,
again?
What Yankees starting pitcher who started games in the 2009 World Series would later pitch for the Phillies?
Time. I don't know.
AJ Burnett.
I kind of remember that.
Yeah.
All right,
four
so I got
4-1 victory.
Okay. Wow, that's a good question. AJ Burnett.
Good question, right? Nice job on the Charlie Hayes thing. It's always funny when you say it, but I knew it was coming.
AJ Burnett's the guy that got him in game two when the Phillies had the Yanks on the ropes.
Yeah, he pitched two games against him. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I think he beat Pedro twice, I think.
Correct. I had asked already in the past. I wanted to ask what Phillies pitcher lost two games in the series, but I had already asked it in the past.
All right. Now, Bree, you've noticed in recent weeks, you're not getting massive celebrations here because I'm in focus mode with me versus Jack. So I'll just say victory 289. That's all. I'm going to keep it simple. You know, victory 289. That's all.
I beat you.
How'd you beat me?
No, I'm kidding.
Have we ever had a female Beat the Hammer contestant? Is Bree the first?
Wow.
I don't know.
I think she might be.
I do not know.
I love
it. The other women out there.
No, yeah. No, it's okay, Bree. You had a valiant effort.
Hey, Bree, we get zeros all the time here. You got
all
one.
The
well,
time.
Not
we
me. Not to Hammer!
I got one and a half. I got
her
first name.
Yeah, she said Mariana Rivera, and she meant Duncan, but she was so close.
I get it. All right, Bree, we are going to award you for being a great contestant, the $50 Rita's Ice gift card. I hope you
Thank
and your
you.
Family can enjoy that. I'm sure that's good for 5, 6, 7 trips this summer. Let me put you on hold so that you can enjoy some Rita's this summer. Thank you, Bray.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good day. Bray.
You got it. You too. And with that, victory 289. By the way, getting close. Getting close to 290, and that means getting close to 300. With that, we shut it down.
Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
That is this muted hammer. Is it working for you, or because I've been very tame?
Not really.
This summer.
I can't believe I'm saying I miss, you know, Haughty Hammer and the celebrations, but I feel like you need to give it a little bit more oomph.
I haven't figured out yet when I beat Fritz in this overall competition how I'll handle it.
I mean, I think you got to go.
Oh, yeah.
It depends. I mean, he might be crying. You got to remember.
I don't care.
He could be crying.
I love Jack. I don't care if you win this thing. Like, it has to be.
Like that.
We especially because you're not doing it for Beat the Hammer, so you're like taking it up. Like you,
gotta get it out of my system.
Like the trial.
Reach volumes I need the trial. You've never reached.
This
before.
This was when you won the decision in the famous trial.
Bow!
And
scared Milt Thompson and Mickey Morandini to death with your reaction.
James,
I need
can
that.
You quickly play the audio when the Eagles won the first Super Bowl and we started the show at 10 a.m. the next
Ready?
Day? Yeah. Let's
I need that. That's the vibe that I need if you
How have
this
I out. Never heard that audio before?
That was the start of our show after the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
You sound like a dying animal.
Oh, so good. Man. All right, hope you're having a good start to your Fridays. We broadcast from Borgata today away from the Tasty Cake Studio. It's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia on this fine Friday morning. Phil's Yanks tonight. Eagles training camp obviously rolls on this weekend. Fangio said some stuff. Also, reminder, as we give away Eagles practice tickets today, we're looking for the most entertaining sort of dynamic relationship, if you will, between the main character, what you'd often call the protagonist, and someone who's the thorn in the side, who you might refer to as the antagonist. There are so many great answers available. Whoever provides the best answer at 215-592-9494, you're going to win those Eagles tickets. John, I would say it wouldn't be a potential winning answer, but it was solid. Marty McFly and Biff. I mean, that was a good one.
That's a great answer.
Get some manure, manure on him at one point.
That's a really great answer.
Right? I mean, there's a lot of answers out there to be had.
Biff was such a jerk. Just the ultimate jerk. Yeah. No one could possibly like Biff.
Yeah, I mean, so I'll say this. In Rocky World, I would vote them from top to bottom this way. Rock Apollo, Rock Clubber, Rock, then Tommy Gunn. Then
what?
Rock and Drago. What? Rock and Drago didn't have much. There wasn't much relationship there. There wasn't. They weren't in many scenes together. I mean, they did that press conference when the wife.
But it was a fascinating relationship.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, Clubber Lang comes to the Philadelphia Art Museum. Hey, woman.
Yeah.
Hey, woman. Why don't you come down from there? I'll show you a real man.
See what a real man looks like.
You lie in bed and you just wish you had a real man like me. Hey, Drago wasn't saying that. Come on now.
Well, but Drago was doing a punching exposition where you could see him punch whatever it was, 3,000 PSI.
I know he was.
Or something.
Seltzer, should I charge up this me and Fritz thing by doing the Clubber Lang thing to Fritz's wife? Hey, woman.
I would not.
You lie in bed and you wish you had a real man.
Oh, wow.
I don't think I would.
I
don't know how well that one would go.
Do. Probably not doing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Joe.
That is how you get punched in the face.
Is this audio going to make its way to Fritz?
Oh, no. You need to lay there.
Dude, I'm going to whip his ass on Tuesday.
How about?
It's going to be 2-1.
How about
Tuesday
a
afternoon?
Silk robe?
There he is.
A silk robe with a cigar, and you say, hey, woman. Seriously.
I know. Listen,
that'll get this charged up.
It's all on the table. Right?
Terrible. That would be so terrible if you did that.
I'm playing around. Hey, by the way, you can weigh in. I am just joking. 215-592-9494.
Hey, you got new shoes.
Yeah, they're tennis shoes. And I'm breaking them in. Breaking them in. That's why I'm wearing them.
Breaking them in.
Well, you don't want to wear the shoes on the competition day the first time. You want to be, two or three weeks into wearing them. John, I'm taking this tennis thing very seriously.
This is the first time you're wearing them.
First time you're seeing me wear them. Yeah. Yeah, I've worn them at many other twists and turns of the day. But not for the show the last couple of days. You were right about that. Mm. All right, we're going to get to the calls in just a moment. Let's play some audio of Vic Fangio.
Those are cool.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks.
It's kind of changing my opinion of you as a tennis player.
Because
these are cool tennis shoes.
James, am I going to win tennis?
I actually think you are going to win tennis. Yeah.
Hold on. What?
Because I'm better at him.
How do you know?
I don't really. I just think.
I'm amazed that you just automatically assume that you're just way better than he is. You're 47. He's 31,
That's
right?
That's right, yeah.
Those are the correct ages?
They are the
about?
Correct ages.
Like, you do have to factor that in, and you do have to factor in. You are injured. He can hit the ball to the other side of the court, and you won't be able to go get it.
Well, that is a concern. I mean, if he moves me side to side,
so
that could be
a
thing.
So how do you win if he does
well,
that?
Well, does he have the capability of being that precise with his shots?
I don't know.
I mean, we'll find out. We know Fangio has the capability of being an exceptional defensive coordinator. He is. He also can make us chuckle because he did yesterday a couple of different times. Let's listen to a few different things that the Eagles' grizzled veteran defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio, said. He was repeating some of the same phraseology yesterday in different contexts. Let's start with something Fangio said about Quinyon Mitchell, and eventually he got to Darius Slay.
If I could get back to Quinyon for a minute, like, what are you seeing as far as him, like, raising his game now that Slay's not here, coming back in year two?
What do I see, what?
In Quinyon, like, raising his game from last year, you know, now that Slay's not here and everything.
What does Slay not here have to do with it?
Well, I mean, he's going to be, like, the main guy, it seems like, you know, the cornerback.
Slay was on the other side of the field, 40 yards, you know, the field's 50. Was it 53 yards wide? What's that have to do with it?
Well, I mean, he's Quinyon's kind of going to be like the main guy as far as, like, you know, covering the other teams, top receiver and everything. Like, just how you see him improving from last year.
He'll be fine. You know, he's got a really good work ethic. He's got tremendous pride and always wants to do well. He'll be fine.
Let me say this. In Fangio's time here, Super Bowl 59 was the time as a coach during a game that he was most on top of his game. Yesterday, as a public figure that speaks publicly, John, was the time he was most on top of his game that way.
No, he's.
I mean, he was on top of his game yesterday.
He's on top of this, man. He's so.
What does Slay have to do with it? He's just, you know, 50 yards away.
He was so annoyed by this question, and he wasn't able to say that he was annoyed by
what the question. What does Slay have to do with it? Because he used a similar phraseology. Yeah. At a different part of the press conference. Listen to this one. He was on his game yesterday.
We're a proponent of as much practice time as we possibly get. We found that those conversations to be like coming off of the Super Bowl season.
What's coming off the Super Bowl season have to do with it?
No, I guess. More taxing on the Flyers last year, more.
No, I mean, you got no better evidence than our own league, you know, from 2011 to 2018, the Patriots were in five Super Bowls. The ones they weren't in, they lost the championship game. And then the last 6 years, the Chiefs have been in five Super Bowls. The one they weren't in, they lost the championship game. And they didn't alter their schedule and plan.
Vic Fangio, God bless you, sir. What a jam of Philadelphia sports. All right. So
think about
the,
what he's saying, though.
Well, there's truth in that. He was spitting truth. He was obviously spitting truth.
I mean, the good teams are the good teams. The good teams get there.
Yeah. No, I mean, a lot of good stuff there.
Hey, take notice of the fact that we are one of those good teams.
I know. Like, they are.
Take notice.
Oh, there's no question.
And it's not stopping anytime soon.
Well,
I hope you're right. This team will continue on this path.
Hope you're right. All right, one other quick thing, and then right to the phone. So I've got four Phillies facts written down. Just want to present this here because, you know, Phillies Yanks tonight. By the way, about two-thirds of the way through the year, they've played 102 games now. 60 games left. That's where we're at. 60 games to go. Four facts just to set the stakes for you. Number one, they're in second place if you don't know. Mets jumped them the other day. Mets are half a game up. Phillies in second place. Fact number two. If the playoffs started today, the Phillies would start on the road in a best of three, which means when the regular season ends, they could be playing on a Tuesday or a Wednesday on the road, and the season could be over as quickly as 2 days after the playoffs start, like the next day after the playoffs start. Fact number three, they have the eighth best record in baseball. Fact number four, and this is where it's such a strange year. They're only three games back of having the best record in baseball. Can you imagine eight teams are within three games of the best record in baseball?
Wow.
That is bizarre, man. I mean, they're one good week away from us saying they, or like a week and a half from us saying they have the best record in baseball.
Yeah.
But they also could have their season over. And first of all, they're no sure bet to
make
the
playoffs. Yeah, I was about to say, they might even make the playoffs. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's the thing. They sure don't feel like that team we can say has the, you know, that plays like the best team in baseball.
So there's a lot
but there really aren't any teams, feel, that are playing that way right now.
But I do wonder if a team like the Dodgers has been playing possum after all their years of greatness.
Yeah.
That they're just waiting to turn it on in October.
What if Jazz is playing possum?
They're in first place. As long as they know they're going to make the playoffs, Joe.
I've wondered about that.
What if Jack?
Maybe the Phillies are too.
Possum about tennis.
I've wondered that.
Jack, there's no way Jack signs. And sorry, I'm getting back to this. I'm sort of off track, but it is sort of bothering me that, like, why on earth would he agree to do tennis if he he's saying, like, I haven't played.
He's got to do a lot
John, we know Joe can't run. He knew going in he was going to lose running to Jack. He agreed to that. I think
I thought it was the fair. My guess is he thought, like I did, it's a fair representation of athleticism. Wide array of stuff. That was my thinking. Look, I knew Jack had the advantage in baseball. I played college baseball.
There aren't that many other things you could have done. Like, we're not going to have a boxing match, like we said. You know, like, it's like, outside of that, what other thing, sport, could you play against?
Yeah, I agree. Bowling's not, you know athletic enough. I mean, come on now. All right, up ahead, all the calls. We're coming right to you on the phone lines on all these topics, including the question we've been asking all day. Have you ever been more confident at this stage of the summer with a coming Eagles season than this one? I was one time, 04 Eagles, one time more confident than I am right now. Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie from Borgata, plus Elliot Shore Parks on the beat covering the Eagles. His assessment of training camp so far. We'll talk to him at 8:30. Phone calls next on 94 WIP.
If you've spent the time building the right roster and earning the fans, then you need the best technology to back it all up for your team. Get rid of those flimsy tablets and slow computers and step up to the game changer and point of sale solutions for restaurants and bars, PDQ POS. Imagine a seamless and lightning fast checkout experience for your customers that saves you money by cutting out those costly fees. Their state-of-the-art technology ensures that transactions are swift, secure, and hassle-free. But that's not all. PDQ Signature Systems is not just a POS system. It's a complete business management solution. Keep track of your inventory, easily manage your staff, and use real-time analytics to optimize your sales. Their user-friendly interface makes it simple for anyone to navigate. Join the thousands of companies that have already made the switch and upgrade to PDQ Signature Systems. Whether you have one restaurant or hundreds, PDQ will customize a POS solution for your specific needs. Upgrade to the professional point of sale. Visit PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com.
You've been listening to the best of the Phillies on Sports Radio 94 WIP.